Disc 4. That day they rested and cleaned their arms and mended their gear, for they had food to last a day or two yet, and Mim added to what they had. 3 great cooking pots he lent to them, and firing, and he brought out a sack. "Rubbish," he said, "not worth the stealing, only wild roots." But when they were washed, the roots proved white and fleshy with their skins, and when boiled, they were good to eat, somewhat like bread. And the outlaws were glad of them, for they had long lacked bread, save when they could steal it. "Wild elves know them not. Grey elves have not found them. The proud ones from over the sea are too proud to delve," said Mim. "What is their name?" said Turin. Mim looked at him sidelong. "They have no name, save in the dwarf tongue, which we do not teach," he said. "And we do not teach men to find them, for men are greedy and thriftless, and would not spare till all the plants had perished, whereas now they pass them by as they go blundering in the wild. No more will you learn of me, but you may have enough of my bounty as long as you speak fair and do not spy or steal." Then again he laughed in his throat. "They are of great worth," he said, "more than gold in a hungry winter, for they may be hoarded like the nuts of a squirrel, and already we were building our store from the first that are ripe. But you are fools if you think that I would not be parted from one small load, even for the saving of my life."
"I hear you," said Ulrad, who had looked in the sack when Mim was taken. "Yet you would not be parted, and your words only make me wonder the more."
Mim turned and looked at him darkly. "You are one of the fools that spring would not mourn if you perished in winter," he said to him. "I had spoken my word, and so must have returned, willing or not, with sack or without. Let a lawless and faithless man think what he will, but I love not to be parted from my own by force of the wicked, be it no more than a shoe thong. Do I not remember that your hands were among those that put bonds upon me, and so held me that I did not speak again with my son? Ever when I deal out the earth's bread from my store, you will be counted out. And if you eat it, you shall eat by the bounty of your fellows, not of me."
Then Mim went away, but Ulrad, who had quailed under his anger, spoke to his back. "High words! Nonetheless, the old rogue had other things in his sack, of like shape, but harder and heavier. Maybe there are other things beside earth's bread in the wild, which elves have not found, and men must not know."
"That may be," said Turin. "Nonetheless, the dwarf spoke the truth in one point at least, calling you a fool. Why must you speak your thoughts? Silence, if fair words stick in your throat, would serve all our ends better."
The day passed in peace, and none of the outlaws desired to go abroad. Turin paced much upon the green sward of the shelf from brink to brink, and he looked out east and west and north, and wondered to find how far were the views in the clear air. Northward, and seeming strangely near, he could descry the forest of Brethil climbing green about the Amon Obel. Thither he found that his eyes would stray more often than he wished, though he knew not why, for his heart was set rather to the northwest, where league upon league away on the skirts of the sky, it seemed to him that he could glimpse the mountains of shadow and the borders of his home. But at evening, Turin looked west into the sunset, as the sun rode down red into the hazes above the far distant coasts, and the vale of Narog lay deep in the shadows between. So began the abiding of Turin, son of Hurin, in the halls of Mim, in Bar-en-Danwedd, the House of Ransom.